Assalamu alaikum and welcome to the Islamic Pulse Talk Show. We are talking about an interesting and relevant question in the present day, and that is whether Islam is a religion of practice or theory. In order to talk about this discussion and this question and answer some of the different aspects of this question, we decided to invite Sheikh Ali Himani from the Republic of India. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, Sheikh Ali Himani, and welcome to the talk show.
Alaikum salam wa rahmatullah. Thank you for having me again on the program.
Jazakallah, Sheikh Himani, again, thank you for taking time out, talking about such a relevant topic and a relevant question which some of the viewers might have, if not many of the viewers, you know, whether Islam is a religion which is just mere practice or it is a religion which is mere theory. Of course, the subject is so vast that we're only able to bring in bits and pieces about the discussion. Of course, we talked about in the last two sessions about the different aspects. In the last session, we had talked about knowledge, skills, and attitude. We're not going to repeat stuff from that, but we kind of had left off, and I had thought about, you know, that we should continue, is this: how do we get to this aspect or this phase or stage of attitude from skills, right? So from skills to attitude, if you would like to continue in the name of Allah.
Right. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. You've rightly pointed out that last time I wanted to give some examples and, you know, specifically point out to the aspect that some people think that, you know, right, fair enough, I understand that having knowledge is not enough, because just knowledge is not going to get me to Jannah or even to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. So I need to practice, right? So and then they have this feeling deep down inside that, okay, now that I'm practicing, there is some assurance, and then, you know, I'll get to Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, or I'll get to the level where I will be admitted to Jannah. And I say inshallah, definitely, with pure intentions, that would happen. But there's some examples in the history that actually shakes you up and makes you wonder that is that enough? You know, if I have knowledge and if I have skill, is that enough for me to be successful in the hereafter? Let me give you example of Talha and Zubair, right? Talha and Zubair were those companions of Imam Ali alayhi salam, where you would find in hadith and riwayat where Imam Ali says that alayka minni, you are from our Ahlul Bayt. So Imam Ali is telling them, you are part of us, you're part of the Ahlul Bayt.
Yes.
And they had the knowledge. They had the knowledge of Islam, they had the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they had the knowledge of the Holy Prophet, they had the knowledge of Imam Ali alayhi salam, and they had the skill. That means they were practicing the religion. They were practicing it. When the house of Bibi Fatima salam Allah alayha was being attacked, they were among those who stepped in front and were willing to draw the sword, and they were willing to fight, right?
They were willing to defend.
To defend, right? Mm-hmm. So they had the knowledge. They were practicing, right? So knowledge and skill. But something went wrong. What went wrong is the attitude part. The religion had not dissolved into their character. It did not dissolve into their soul. And that's why you see that as time passed by, instead of getting closer to Imam Ali alayhi salam, when they were already among the Ahlul Bayt, alayka minni, right? So instead of getting closer, they started getting away. So much so that they drew the sword upon Imam Ali alayhi salam.
Right.
Right. So we have a live example that they had the marifat, they had the knowledge, they were practicing, but when they did not work towards converting this knowledge and skill into attitude, they were among those who actually drew the sword upon Imam Ali alayhi salam.
I know, like, for example, because we just recently passed the months of Muharram and Safar, and so Muharram and Safar, in our Muharram Safar talk shows, we talked about how Muharram and Safar are these months where there's this very unique spirituality within it, just like, much like the holy month of Ramadan, right? And so it seems like these reverberations or this breeze from Muharram and Safar is still here. So, for example, we have this example of Umar Saad, right?
Correct.
Umar ibn Saad, an individual who, I mean, in one of the talk shows we said, as Imam Hussein alayhi salam was being martyred and killed, he was turning his face away and crying.
Correct.
You know? Or Hur ibn Yazid al-Riyahi is another, correct, he's the opposite example.
Example.
You know, where, so they had the knowledge.
He had the marifat.
They had the skills, they were practicing, but when it came to attitude, Umar ibn Sa'ad is a totally different character as far as attitude when compared to Hur ibn Yazid al-Riyahi.
Correct. And let me give you an even more deeper example, and this example always shakes me up. You know, sometimes, you know, I get goosebumps when I think about this example, right?
Yes.
When we're talking about Talha and Zubair, who saw the Holy Prophet, who saw Imam Ali alayhi salam, and then they were there with the Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. But when I think of the example of Iblis, when I think of the example of Shaitan, right? He, according to the ahadith, he was there when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was creating Janabi Adam alayhi salam, right? So he saw the creation happen in front of him. And he worshipped Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for 6,000 years. And we don't even know that 6,000 years are the earthly years or the heavenly years. If we talk about heavenly years, then every single day of heavenly year is equal to 50,000 earthly years, right? So 6,000 heavenly years, that's a huge number. And he had faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He was there on the seventh or sixth heaven, right? Worshipping among the angels. So he had actually witnessed everything. So he had the marifat, he had the skill, he was practicing the religion he knew, and he was there among the angels. He was there among the angels.
Yeah, right? the highest level of skill you could imagine.
And he saw it. And then because this religion had not become part and parcel of his soul, somewhere he turned around and said, look, I'm not going to listen to you. I'm not going to obey you. And surprisingly, even after that part where he says that I'm not going to do sajda to Janabi Adam alayhi salam, he did not become kafir.
Right.
He did not become mushrik so that he could turn around and talk to another god and say, oh God, protect me from this god. Right. Or, oh, why, you know, you give me respite. No, he turns to the same God, the same Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he says, I know you are my God. I know you created me. I know you will reward my ibadat that I've done so far. So give me respite. Give me time. So he was muwahhid. Right. He was a monotheist. He was not polytheist, not mushrik. He was worshipping this. He believed in the same Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with that level of marifat, with that level of witnessing, but went astray.
He went completely crazy, not just astray. Yeah.
So example actually shakes me up and worries me that if the level of knowledge I had, if I, you know, straight away, if I ask the kind of knowledge I have and the kind of knowledge he had, actually witnessed. I haven't even witnessed.
Right.
So he was much ahead of me in that knowledge and in amal. He worshipped Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in salat and ruku and sujood thousands of years.
Sure.
And then he went astray. So this clearly shows that knowledge is absolutely not enough. If someone is living in that fantasy world thinking that I've read 100 books or 200 books and I have that much knowledge and I'm going to be successful on the day of Qiyamah, no, that's not going to happen. And those who are practicing and they think that, okay, just doing the wajibat and the bare minimum and, you know, just fasting and offering namaz and doing this little things that we're doing around some charity and all that, and this is going to save me, probably we'll go to heaven. But look, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala clearly said that heaven is the least thing to expect from me.
Right.
Ya ayyatuhan nafsul mutma'inna irji ila rabbi, come to your Lord. And there's a difference between seeking heaven and seeking the infinite.
Yes.
You know, the thing that you mentioned about fana fillah.
Right.
In one of my status, and you know, people have their status at WhatsApp and all that. So for a very long time, I was fascinated by this study that I had, and I had this in my status line that the greatest achievement for any finite being is to become infinite. Mm-hmm. Because it is finite can never become infinite. You know, even from the mathematical point of view, if you want a finite number to become infinite, you have to multiply that with infinite.
Right.
A no finite number by adding any finite number can turn into infinite.
Hmm.
Impossible. Right. So it is only through infinity that a finite number can become infinite.
Right.
Right. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling you that follow me, obey me. irji ila rabbi, come to your Lord, I will turn you into infinity.
Right.
And that's the greatest achievement a human being can think of.
Right.
And that can happen only when we move from knowledge to skill and from skill to attitude. Without that, the achievements that we are going to have are going to be so petty, so little that we're going to, you know, there's a term in Farsi, we say hasrat mi khoran. And they're going to go, you know, even though they at the doors of the heaven, they would say that, oh, I wish I would have done a little more when I was back there on earth and I had the opportunity to do. And I would say, do it now rather than being regretful and remorseful there. Now you have the time, you have life in your hand. So work towards it. Gain knowledge, read books, listen to lectures, listen from good scholars, and try and practice as much as you can. And from there, move towards attitude. Make it part and parcel of your life. You should be a living example of Islam. People look at you, they should say, this is Islam, this is Iman, this is Shiaism, right? That's what we're trying to achieve, and that's what Ahlul Bayt wanted us to achieve.
Yes. Yes, you know, so Sheikh, I just wanted to add, because it was a point that you had brought up, right? Even though this was perhaps an appropriate place to conclude the talk show, but we have a little bit more time. But here, so for example, this is a very sensitive model, right? So that's why we keep on saying, you know, you have to have the knowledge, you have to have the theory. Based upon that knowledge, then you have the practice, and then the practice leads to attitude. And you can't mix these around, right? You can't have the attitude without the skill and the practice without the theory.
Yeah.
And over these, you know, three separate episodes of the talk show, is what we're understanding is that is the theory is there, the knowledge is there that leads into your actions. You know, and then of course that action eventually becomes a part and parcel of who you are.
And you can look at this like a cycle, right?
So
when you when you're at a different attitude, when I say attitude, you're at a different level in your soul, and then you go back and look at the same knowledge that you have, there's a new learning happening there. The thing that we mentioned about the Holy Quran, that it has button, and there are deeper meanings and layers under it. This is where Islam is telling you that, look, you have some knowledge, practice and move it towards your attitude, and then go back and look at the same thing again, the same Quran. When you read, you'll have much higher level of knowledge, much deeper level of knowledge. Now that you have deeper level of knowledge, practice again. And with this practice, you move to another level of attitude, another level of your soul. And from that level of soul, again, go back and refer to Quran, go back and refer to Sayfa Sajadiyah, go back and refer to Nahjul Balagha. You will have new knowledge. With that new knowledge, so this is like an infinite cycle you get into. And it is an infinite path that you can get into. There's always ascension happening.
And as you very eloquently put, you know, the only way for the infinite to become infinite is to somehow be related or joined or
connect,
you know,
with the infinite.
Connect with that infinite. From this kind of conceptual thing, I'm going for it to a very practical type thing. Something I think we should put out there is that in the modern day that we live in, and we find that there are so many distractions, you know, it's something we said, I think, in maybe, you know, the first talk show. These distractions do not allow you to learn. They do not allow you to sit and read. So, for example, you keep on saying, you know, sit, read. And I'm telling you, it just seems like nobody reads anymore.
Yeah, nobody reads anymore.
And if people do read, it's on the cellular phone, right?
Great.
Like this idea of opening a book, which is very classic, you know, in literature, we call it very romantic terms.
Correct.
A person sitting in a corner, you know,
with a cup of coffee,
with a cup
the
of
fragrance
coffee.
Of coffee, and the book, fragrance of the fresh book, and the pages. And yeah, I know,
and
but
really, but what I'm trying to say is that has a lot of value.
It
and
does.
People really need to slowly go towards that kind of a thing where you sit without any distraction, without the social media constantly beeping. These are not ways and you can reach these higher levels of knowledge.
Great.
If you'd like to comment.
Great. There are a couple of challenges that the current world is facing, and at least the Muslim Ummah, I'm not just restricting to Shias here,
yes,
the Muslim Ummah should realize this and take a step back. look, everybody is converting all their information into audiovisual, right? So they have these videos with images moving and audio behind and even music playing and all that stuff,
yes.
Right? Here is a fundamental question now. Can you ever convert Quran into that audiovisual kind of element where you will keep the book away and watch these videos and you say, I'm getting the same knowledge from these videos that I'm getting from the actual holy book of Quran? That's never going to happen.
Asant.
Right? From the Nahjul Balagha, from the Saif al-Sajjadia, people might convert into audiobooks. That's okay. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about converting it. For example, a concept. Someone has a concept in their mind, they make a movie out of it, right? So now you have the Holy Quran. People are going to try and do this. Trust me, 2 years down the line, there would be some crazy guy who's like, okay, you know what? I'm converting this whole thing into, you know, a kind of a sign language or a video language where you don't have to really open the Quran. You just look at this video and you will never gain that knowledge from the holy, from watching these videos, what you can actually. So essentially, all of us, the whole Muslim Ummah, will have to return to the book, the physical book. You can't do away with that. So somewhere, if you're getting addicted to your digital media, where everything is turning into graphics and holographics and metaverse and digital world, you will have to essentially come back to that book and hold on to it and read it and open it, look at it. And Hidayat happens to be there, right there. This is where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Zalikal kitabu la rayba fi." He's saying kitab. Is referring to the book. Someone might say digital book. That's okay. You're still holding the book. I'm talking about converting all the content into video formats, audiovisual formats.
Right.
So essentially, we have to realize Nahjul Balagha, Saif al-Sajjadia, the meaning, the hidden treasure that's hiding there can never be brought onto that screen. It has to be found in the book when you're opening it, reading it, looking at that text and pondering upon it. That's when you will get those treasures. So people has to realize and realize that there is a part of my life that that I have to consciously make a decision and dedicate it towards the book. Actually spend time with the book. Be it a book of knowledge, talking about books from Shahid Mutahhari or Imam Khomeini or Allama Tabatabai or whatever, or the Holy Quran itself. But somewhere they'll have to make a conscious effort now to move towards this.
Inshallah. Jazakallah khair. Thank you so much, Sheikh Himani, for joining us on the talk show. These three very interesting, fruitful sessions where we were trying to dissect these different aspects of this question of whether Islam is a religion of theory or practice. And I think we did a good job, mashallah.
Alhamdulillah.
Of course, realizing that it is both a religion of theory and practice and of existence, of being, okay. You know. That theory that is there becomes a part of the practice, and that part that practice becomes part of your being, inshallah. Until another talk show, we hope to have you soon. Jazakallah khair.
Inshallah. Absolutely my pleasure. Thank you for having me with you all.
And dear viewers, thank you as well for joining us on the talk show where we were put forth a humble effort to try to answer this question of whether Islam is a religion of practice or theory. And of course, it is a religion of both. Try your best to implement the religion, learn about the religion, practice the religion, and make it into your being and your existence. Until another talk show, that is all from us. Fi amanallah and assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.